Welcome to the City Heart Podcast. I'm Pastor Kevin Reed. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that you're encouraged and enlightened by this message. Have you ever looked in the mirror, kind of this big mirror, have you ever looked in the mirror and kind of seen something that looked off or peculiar, right? Have you ever kind of looked in and you kind of look and you see yourself and you're like, whoa, right? I hope that doesn't happen to you, that you look in the mirror and you're shocked at your own face. But every once in a while, right, you kind of look in the mirror and you see something a little off. Everybody, ever happened to anybody else, right? You see something like, well, I don't remember that pimple, that mole, that ingrown hair, that, you know, man, I don't remember that face. Like something is just different, right? My hope is that, you know, as you leave, right, sometimes my wife will ask me, did you look in the mirror before you left the house today? And I'm like, yes, I did. You know, and she's like, you sure? Go look again, right? Because, you know, when you're brushing your teeth or you're doing that stuff, sometimes you're kind of, your head's down, you may not be looking up, right? You may not see exactly what's going on. And I've, you know, the thing about a mirror is that, you know, a mirror is supposed to reflect, you know, what's reality. That's a mirror's job. It's supposed to show you exactly what's going on. And for a lot of people, it's kind of, a mirror can show you exactly who you are. Right? Not even from just the outside, it can kind of show you from the inside. You might go to a mirror and not really realize, you know what, I look a little down today, right? I might look a little sad, maybe I'm happy, and I'm like, oh, wow, I'm more happy than normal, right? There's nothing between my teeth, and man, this all seems kind of okay, right? And that's what happens when we look into the mirror. One of the things that, you know, a lot of times that doesn't happen is we look into a mirror and we you know, we kind of see stuff that we don't want to see, right? That can happen sometimes where we're not necessarily looking for the stuff that we don't really want to see. Run that through your brain again, right? We don't go to a mirror saying, hey, what's the bad stuff, right? That's really what a mirror is for, is to show you, hey, you're kind of off a little bit. But necessarily on the inside, we don't necessarily go to a mirror and say, hey, what's really wrong with me? What's wrong with my character? What's wrong with my personality? What can I really work on? Right. When I look in the mirror, right, one of the things that I never really considered until a certain point in my life was that, man, when I looked in the mirror, I didn't realize how selfish I was. Like, I looked in the mirror one day, and I was like, man, you know, you get into an experience or in a situation, and you realize, man, you know what, I'm really selfish. And I didn't realize how selfish I really was. You know, I grew up in a house with two older sisters, and I thought I was a pretty giving person, right? If I had some French fries, right, I would give you a French fry, right? You get at least one. You know, if I had enough left, you know, and they were kind of cooling down, like they weren't like, you know, hot, fresh in the bag, or you know, there's always like that extra one at the bottom of the bag. Like, you could have that, you know. But I didn't realize how selfish I was. But one day I looked in the mirror and I was like, man, you know what? You're a little selfish. And what pointed it out to me, what helped me to see, kind of, there's really two things. The first thing that helped me to see how selfish I was getting married. Oh, I thought, man, I'm a pretty caring and giving person. And then I got married and I was like, ooh, you're kind of selfish. Because marriage, when you're connected to somebody, it will show you, you will see your true self, right? If you don't really know who you are before you get married, when you get married, you'll see your true self. And for me, I realized, you know what, I'm a little selfish. I because in marriage, you have to give, and you're always giving, and you're always, you know, hopefully, you're conceding, and there's some 50-50 balance, or at least some 70-30, oh, maybe 80-20. There's something, you know, that you're giving a little bit of yourself here and there to be a blessing to the other person. The other thing, the other kind of event or experience that helped me to see how selfish I was when I had a kid. My daughter, right, she's three now, but man, when we first had her, I looked in the mirror again and I was like, you know, ooh, you're kind of selfish, because especially, we're about to do this again, but when you have to wake up in the middle of the night, right, and you don't necessarily want to wake up in the middle of the night because the baby has pooped or is crying or needs to be fed, that's when you realize, man, whew. You know, my wife was the one that she immediately, like, eyes open, and that's typically what happens, right? She like, before the baby breathed or knew to wake up, she was already up, like, you know, hitting me. All right, get up. And I'm like, you know, you kind of turn over in the bed. Oh, no, you know. She's like, all right, it's your turn. I was like, oh, man. Lord, pray my strength. It's about to come up again. But man, I was at that place where I was like, okay, whoo. And then I looked in the mirror like, you know what? You're kind of selfish. You got a baby who can't do anything for themselves, right? They can't change, or she couldn't change herself. But I realized, man, I'm kind of selfish. And that selfish attitude, you know, if I can put it in a word, it's kind of, man, what will it do for me? What will you do for me? If there's a question that identifies what selfish is, it's like, man, what will you do for me? And that's really all of our focus. That's why we're in a generation where it's all about social, right? And Facebook, and how good do I look, right? And we're doing this all the time, right? Make sure my lighting's right. I'm gonna throw a filter on there, okay? Great, boom, perfect picture, right? That's kind of where we are. We've turned into this generation where it's all about me. It's kind of where we are. It's always all about me. And when you're selfish, kind of give you a definition. A selfish person is a person, it's a person, action, or motive that lacks consideration for others, right? You're concerned chiefly with your own personal benefit or consideration or pleasure before somebody else, right? So it's kind of all about you. But we've been saying in the series, man, you know what? We really need to be in a squad. We need to be connected to somebody else. We need to be, man, there needs to be somebody else that's in your life that you're helping to share and be connected to. Why? Because a squad, what does it do? It helps to provide, it's a balance. It provides counterbalance to kind of the selfishness that's in all of us, right? If we're honest about it, if I'm really selfish, having somebody else that I'm connected to, that to care for and kind of bless and help and hope and encourage and be with, and man, that's, it kind of brings you back where it's not all about you. It provides some balance. And it helps to destroy, right, some of that selfishness that's in all of us. And we said squad is so important because in a squad, it's where you feel love. And when you feel love, then you start to open up yourself to be accountable. And once you're accountable, now you're at a place where you're saying, okay, I'm going to allow myself to be sharpened by somebody else to really shape kind of who I am, and I'm going to help shape them as well. And from there, what do we get? It's growth, right? We really begin to grow. That's what the squad thing is all about. And the thing about growth is this. Growth, really, it's the sign of really, it's kind of displaying what maturity is, right? Growth really displays itself in maturity, whether it's physical in our bodies, right? When you grow up, these kids get older, they start to mature, not only in size, right? But we're hoping that there's some maturity also, whether it's physical, we're hoping that there's some emotional maturity, right? That we're not just, you know, my daughter's at this point right now where it's like whatever she wants, it's I'm either going to cry, I'm going to scream, or she's such a good actress already. Like, it's like Oscar-worthy performances every day. Like, no, I need that cookie, I'm going to die, right? But we're hoping for that emotional, you know, that emotional development, but also the spiritual. Right, we need there has to be maturity in all those areas. And maturity, when we, man, how do I know I'm really doing it? Maturity displays itself in our attitude and in our actions. That's how we know, right? I know I'm mature when my attitude starts to reflect it and my actions really start to reflect it. That's how I know that I'm growing into a place of maturity. And for anybody that's a Christ follower, for anybody that follows God, what does that look like for somebody that's a Christ follower? It's through how we serve others. And it's really through how we serve others. That's how you really begin to know, man, I'm growing out of the selfishness that's in me as a Christ follower when I really begin to serve others. And that kind of changes the question. No longer is it, man, what will you or what will it do for me? Now it's really, man, you know what? How may I serve you? How can I serve you? That's a completely different question, right? We don't necessarily look in the mirror and say, man, how can I serve somebody else? It's really all about me. What benefit am I gaining? But the real question that we should be asking is, how may I serve you? It's taking the steps of fulfilling the purpose that God has placed in us. We talked about that last week, and beginning to implement that into the earth. Right, beginning to implement that into our life. Once we know what our purpose is, taking that and saying, okay, now my attitude and my actions are enabling me to begin to serve, right? And that's really the question I was supposed to be asking. That's that sign of maturity and growth. And if there's anything that we see Jesus trying to explain to his disciples, that he's trying to teach them in the short time that he has with them, he's trying to explain that. Really, I'm communicating that I want you to serve, right? He's telling that to his church. He's telling that to his disciples. That's his squad. He's saying, if there's anything that you can get, it's serve other people. It's not about you, but it's really about other people. That's why he came. If you look, let's take a look, Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, and this is where some religious leaders are kind of testing and talking to Jesus, and he's communicating this point so that they understand it. Let me show you. Matthew 22, 36 says, "Teacher," is the religious teacher asking him a question, "which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Right? Which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replies, he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, right? And with all your strength." And really this is the first and the greatest commandment. Everybody knows this one, right? We've got this one down. What's the best thing I can do is to love God with everything I've got, right? But he says, but there's a second one that's just like this. He says that there's another one, and that's to love your neighbor as yourself. Right? Loving God, yes, do that. All those guys knew that. But he's saying the second thing is to love your neighbor as yourself. To begin yourself, how may I serve you? That's kind of what that really means there. And you can see the religious leaders, man, they're trying to trick them, and they're trying to figure out, man, how does this dude really think? Because up to this point, the Jewish law, really what it was for a lot of the people that wrote it and kind of lived by it, they lived by it by the law in a selfish way. They served God from a really selfish perspective, kind of that was like, okay, what law can I do that shows how mature I really am, right? How can I show these other people, you know, that I'm the most holy, that I'm the most worthy, that I follow the rules the best? And so they just kept making up rules, more and more rules to show how much more they loved God than anybody else. They thought that was the sign of maturity, but Jesus is really flipping on them. He's saying, no, it's not that. What really shows that you love God, what really shows that you care about him, is how you serve other people. It's just a different take on how to serve. And he's saying, man, it's really about your attitude and your actions. That's what really shows the maturity. It's not about how people perceive you, it's about how you care about other people. And that's hard for us sometimes. It's kind of difficult. It's not our first inclination. When my daughter came, my first inclination wasn't to get up at 2:30 in the morning and wipe poop. That was not what I was thinking about. I didn't necessarily want to do that, but I recognize, you know what? That's in this moment, that's my calling. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. That's what I'm here for. That's the position that I'm in. And so really what I have to do then is to begin to look in the mirror. I have to begin to look in the mirror and observe, okay, how do I treat myself? Right? That love your neighbor as you love yourself, man. How do I love me? Right? Do I do the basic stuff for me? Right? Do I make sure that I'm fed and that I'm clothed and that I'm clean and that I look good? And then, okay, great. Now go do that for somebody else. Right? Do I make sure that I have everything that I need, that I'm all okay? Great. Now go do that for somebody else. And it's kind of Lisa's point, right? We do it because we kind of know to do it. Everybody's heard Luke 6:31, right? Do unto others as you would. Come on, y'all know this one. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's the golden rule, right? I remember learning that's like probably the second verse I learned as a kid. You do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's the golden rule. Right? But there's two main reasons why we don't do that. There's two main reasons why we have a hard time in serving, and I get it. It's tough for me too. I have to look in the mirror myself. There's two reasons why we don't do it. And let me explain the first one. The first one is because we're always looking down. We're always looking down, right? When we're supposed to be facing the mirror, instead of looking straight ahead, what we're doing, we're looking down. What do you mean by that? Let me show you. Matthew 25, 35, we read this a little earlier. Jesus is saying, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Right? If you look at all the words that are highlighted there, it's things that we necessarily don't like to get involved with. Right? I don't necessarily want to be responsible for feeding anybody else or clothing somebody else or visiting somebody else in prison. What? Go to prison to visit somebody? No. Right? It's not stuff that we are readily kind of moving towards. Right? It's just not what we do. And we've really turned into a culture that seek to honor ourselves while diminishing everyone that does not have what we have or is at some sort of disadvantage. It's just kind of what we do. Even the church has done that for a long time. Just to be honest, I can say that as a pastor. Even the church has done that, right? We've done that. We've gotten to a position where we're kind of just, man, if we can diss or dog or just dishonor somebody else, we're just at the place where we are doing that. We're literally looking down at people who are in those positions. The people that are thirsty, that are hungry, the people that need us. We kind of look down at them. We don't care about them the way that we should. It's kind of the first reason why we don't serve others the way that we should. What's the second reason? Right? Well, before that, but Jesus tells them, he calls those people out that we look down on, and he's saying what we really should be doing is feeding them and connecting with them and comforting them, and that we're doing the same thing. When we do that, we're doing it for him. Look, verse 40 said, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, you're doing that for me, right? So when we care, when we go out of our way to help those that might be not as advantageous as we are, really we're serving Christ. That should be an impetus for us to really want to do it. The second reason I said is, instead of looking straight ahead and seeing ourselves in the way that we serve, we either look down or we look up. What do you mean by that? Let's look at another verse. Colossians 3:23-24 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. A lot of times when we're in a place where we're ready to serve, a lot of times for many people, the reason why they have difficulty is that they're looking already for the reward. Right? They're looking for the inheritance, and that becomes the focus more so than serving other people. Right? We start looking up, man, what's in it for me? There's that question again, man, what's in it for me? Man, I know that there's an inheritance I'm supposed to get from serving. Okay, you know, I came on a Saturday and I helped set up. Where's my reward? Right? On a Sunday, we broke down. Okay, right? I did worship. I can't, like, what's in it for me? We're always looking up, but we should stop and begin really kind of reflecting and saying, okay, what instead of saying, what can I get out of it, saying, okay, what can I do that's really just blessing somebody else without looking at it for my own self? How can I be a blessing to somebody else? And who we're serving, they may not be glamorous. They may not be the best-looking person. They may not have all this stuff, but really it's our job to continue to fulfill what God's called us to do and to serve them. Why? Because when we serve them, we're serving the Lord. It's the Lord Christ that we're serving. For us, that should be enough. That's enough reward. Man, I get to serve Christ, man. That's enough. But he's saying, yes, you're serving me, but then I'm going to reward you anyway. So serve on. Go ahead and serve. So instead of looking up or looking down, we really should begin to look directly into the mirror at ourselves so that, man, when I look in there, I should be able to see the Christ that's in me, right? He's saying, it's the Lord Christ you're serving. So when I look in the mirror, I should begin to see, man, he's affecting my life. Man, he's changed me. Man, he's done so much for me in the places when I was wrong or I was down or I was out. He, the Christ in me, that's what saved me. That's what changed my life. And that is why we serve, right? That as we look at that, that's really what affects our attitude and our actions, right? When we begin to see that and saying, God, man, how am I serving you? He's saying, yes. Once you get to the place you're saying, yes, how may I serve? Now you're in the right place where our heart is in the right place and where we're really serving him. Not because we get something out of it and not because we think we're better than anybody else, but because we love God and what he's placed in us, what he's done for me, how he's blessed me is, man, that's enough reason enough just to serve him and honor him. And that's what Jesus came to do. If you look at Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." He came to seek and to save the lost. We see it in his word, right? How do I know that I'm starting to do it? How do I know that I'm effectively looking in the mirror? How do I see that? We pick up what kind of his attitudes and his characteristics and his actions, right? So we start to seek to save the lost. Hebrews 13:16 says, "Do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased." Man, this is the attitudes and the actions are in the right place. Romans 12:13 says, "Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality." That's how I know that my attitudes and the actions that I'm doing are in line with God. They're not looking up or down. Man, I'm practicing hospitality. I'm looking straight ahead to what he's called me to do. This last one, Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." We are called, we are created by God to make a difference. What is that? What is that squad goal? Man, it really be for us to make a difference. I want to do something that outlives me. I want to do something, man, that it lasts for a long time. I want to make such an impact that, man, somebody else, their life is forever changed. I'm a product of that, of somebody kind of stepping out of what they had to do and started doing, man, they started living for God and started blessing other people and then blessed my life. That's why I'm standing where I am today, because somebody cared enough to look in the mirror and say, man, you know what? The Christ in me is reflecting on me enough to go and help this young dude out who's lost, who needs some help. He needs some guidance. Let me smack him into shape, right? Somebody did that for me. Right, they helped me along. What I'm saying is, okay, let's take that same attitude and actions that Jesus did his heart and begin doing that in our world. Right, and sometimes we don't do that. Sometimes we just get in a place where we forget and we get lost. But we're created to make a difference. It's one of our core values here at the church, is that we live to serve, that we're always looking for ways to serve others, recognizing that jumping in to help is more rewarding than sitting on the sidelines. Right, because sometimes we want to do that. I can just sit back and let everybody else do the work. I'll just sit back and let everybody else give. I'll just sit back and let everybody else set up. Man, I'll just stay here versus saying, you know what? Let me use the gifts and talents that I have to jump in and be a blessing. Right? We don't believe in bench players here. Everybody has an opportunity to be blessed. And what is God's response? What is God's response? I'm done right here. John 15:15-16, we read it before, says, "I no longer call you servants," right? And you're no longer in a place where you're just a servant, where, man, I'm just doing this just to do it. What he's saying is that, man, you're no longer a servant, but actually I'm calling you a friend. I'm saying that you're squad. Why? Because you know why. You understand the attitudes and the actions. You get it. You get it. You understand it. You know it. And you begin to live it out. I call you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. That you would bear fruit that lasts. That it's something that, man, I'm really making a difference. I'm making an impact. The small thing that it might be, the small thing that I might be doing is really doing something that's going to make a lasting impact. And that means the world to me. So when I look in the mirror again, now I'm seeing, man, I'm seeing the real me. I'm seeing the Christ in me. I'm seeing everything that he's called me to be. And man, I'm living based on that. And not only am I seeing that, man, but I'm living that out every day. It's in every attitude and every action that I take. That's the picture of somebody that is mature. Right? When you can look in the mirror and say, man, I'm doing everything that I can to be like Christ with every attitude and action I take, that's somebody that is mature. That's somebody that is determined to make a difference. That's somebody that's saying, man, how may I serve you? So it's no longer about you, but it's about Christ. That's what Christ did when he came on the cross. It wasn't about him. It's God saying, man, how can I serve my people? I'm going to send you the very best thing that I have. God necessarily didn't get a reward from that. He wasn't looking for it. He didn't look down on us in our sins and our shame and the stuff that we've done wrong. He was saying, you know what? I see what they need. I see what I've created them to be, and I'm calling them to do something amazing. And so I'm going to give my very best so that they can be blessed and be a blessing. Bow your heads, let's pray. Thank you for checking out this message from City Heart Church. If you'd like to hear more from this series, or if you'd like to hear more about our church, you can check us out online at cityheartjackson.com, or you can check us out on social media at cityheartjxn.